to stay, but thank God I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people who said they cared. In the time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in my season of pain, one thing never wavered, one thing never changed. I never lost my hope. Oh, I never lost my
Hi. To you. You read? Mm-hmm. All right. We're certainly grateful to be a part of this program this afternoon, and we're coming to you with a little short message from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. We want to talk to you from that passage. It says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we want to talk a little bit about this. We are in a race. This is like we're in a race. And the writer says that there's a crowd of people, and they're watching us, and they're saying to us that we made it, so you can do it also. So come on. Come on, because we have made it. They're there telling us that come on. Come on. We're in a race, and we're running the race. We're running this race to win. There are many in the race, but only one going to win the prize. And so we are running in the race. We got to pull off all of the things that will hinder us from running and get rid of it. And we got to run with patience, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus himself is in the race. Jesus came through the race. Jesus has run the race. Jesus is showing us that we can do it, that they are there, coaching us and telling us to come on. We made it. You can make it. And I know we can, because we have Jesus, our Christ, the creator, the holder, the sustainer of the universe, is there to coach us and to tell us that I made it. So Jesus made it, because the writer said that he did his part. Jesus did his part. And so now we have to do ours. We got to run so we can win. We got to run so we can win. This is a marathon that we got to run so that we can win. Run so that we can win, and move off everything that keeps us from running. Get rid of it and run with patience and run that we know that we can make it. They're saying to us, come on, y'all. We are watched by a great crowd of people, and the people are saying to us, come on. We have made it, and I know you can. Come on. And we're there waiting. And they're waiting on us. Waiting on us to let us know that we made it. Some of the great people, there's Moses, and there's Joshua, and there are a lot of the people saying, come on, Isaiah, Jeremiah, come on, we made it, you can. And we know that we can, because we have Jesus, who is there, who has also endured the cross, despising the shame. He ran. Jesus ran at the cross. He came to do just that. Came to die. Came to show us that it can be done through him. We can do it. He came and died one day on the cross. And not only did he die, but he rose from the dead. And we're grateful that we have a Savior that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above
Gracious Father, we come this afternoon in the name of Jesus to thank you, praise you, and magnify you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you for the message about running the race. Oh, God, we know we have to run this race in order to see you one day. And, Lord, that is our goal, to see you one day, to be with you. And so, Father, we ask that you would just please bless us to run this race with patience. We know a lot of things will happen that will cause us to be upset, but bless us to remember that you said for us to run with patience the race that is set before us. Lord, you set the race. You know what it is. You set the race for us to run. And so we just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to run this race. We cannot run it on our own. We can't run it by ourselves. So we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to help us to run this race, that we may see you. That is our goal. We want to see you, Lord. And so we just pray, oh God, that you just anoint us and bless us, oh God, to keep running. Because the cloud of witnesses already, they already ran. And they're telling us to come on. And so, Lord, we are just going to take that and we're going to run on. And so these things we do pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and thank God. Amen.
I was born by the river.
Yeah.
In a little tent. Like the river I've been running. Running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh yes it will. It's been too but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it is. Then I go to my brother. Ooh. And I say, brother, but he wound up knocking back down on me. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. I know that it's change is gonna come one day. I know a change is gonna come. Yeah, today.
Praises be to our God and King. This beautiful Lord's Day morning. Certainly want to thank Reverend Chambers for that devotional message about running the race, and the prayer from Sister Chambers to give us strength to do what the Lord has called us to do. You would think that post-resurrection and the joy and excitement of knowing that Christ is alive, that we would be raring to go to run that race. But as we see in the text that we're about to bring before you, before they got to run it, they needed to have a gift of the Holy Spirit upon them to be ready to answer the call to go into all the world. Gospel of John says in chapter 20, verses 19 to 22, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Lord, may you bless the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts to hear your words and apply it with understanding to the living of these days. Glory be to your name. Let the Holy Ghost in your room, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are today, in whatever room you're hearing and receiving this message, I'm saying to you, let the Holy Ghost in your room. Have you ever walked into a room where people were already gathered and you knew right off that there was something about the atmosphere that just wasn't right? Something about the interaction among the people occupying that space that just seemed to be in the wrong spirit. That's the kind of room Jesus found his disciples in. And when he walked in that room, the disciples were for a change in one accord. But it was not an accord of praise. It was not one accord of worship. There was a oneness of spirit, all right, but it was not a harmonious spirit that occupied the room where they were huddled, hiding out, would be a truer observation. There's fear in the room because they do not want what happened to Jesus to happen to them. There's doubt in the room. They have begun to doubt the master's words, doubt that he was the one, and even doubt themselves. But when they followed Jesus, they had begun to see themselves in a different light. There was disappointment in the air, depression and frustration, because this Jesus had raised their hopes that now things were going to be different, that now peace and power was going to be restored to Israel, and everybody that was on the bottom was going to be on the top now.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jesus being crucified, everything changed. They were not at the foot of the cross to see him or hear him plead for their forgiveness. They were not witnesses to how Jesus handled being mocked, being scorned, being scourged, or being crucified. They were not there that Friday to get any sense of victory from how he died. They all forsook him and fled. And you know how we are. I suspect in that room, they were all playing the blame game. It's your fault. It's your fault. I believe fingers were pointing to the left and to the right. Charges were being hurled one against the other. And when they got finished arguing with one another, believe you me, at that point, you would not have wanted to be in that room. But I thank God today that Jesus found them in that room. And before they could open their mouths to speak, before they could address him, he addressed them. He spoke before they spoke, because Jesus knew what was going on inside of them. Matter of fact, before they found this place to huddle up and hide out, Jesus had already read them like a book and said, I see terror in you. You are afraid of what's about to happen next. You don't know whether to put one foot in front of the other or not, because you are scared to death. I talked to you about what would happen. I talked to you before, trying to prepare you, to get you ready. But what I see inside of you is that you are scared to death. He had told them already what would happen, and he knew what was inside of them. And so when he finds them in that room, the first words he speaks are, peace be unto you. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know if I have described any of the emotions going on inside of you. I don't know you as well as Jesus does. It takes me a little while to get past the makeup and the new hairdos. Take me a while to get past the fancy clothes. But these eyes that I have, it takes some doing to get past what you put on to see inside what you're going through. But I'm glad Jesus knows. I'm glad he knows what's going on inside each of us. Yes, we like those disciples. We too have a way of huddling and hiding out, and not always in the church house. Many times when we're going through, we don't want to be in this room. We want to go through by ourselves. We want to get away, go through in private. We don't want to have to talk to anybody, because we might have to let them know what's happening with us. We might not be at the place where we are willing to confess our faults and share our troubles. We think if we let people know what's going on inside of us, they may not think as well of us as they used to. So I'll just stay home and go through. But I'm glad today, saints, that while we're engaged in our masquerade, Jesus knows what's going on inside of us. And I'm pleased to report that for whatever is going on inside of you, you can get some peace about it from Jesus. He told us we can get peace from him. Not like the world gives, because we've learned that there really is no peace in this world. We build up our finances, we get a little money in the bank, maybe even have some investments working. But we found out there's no peace in that, because this economy will eat up every kind of dollar you have. You look at your retirement balance 1 year and you think, yeah, I got it going on. You look at it this year and say, where has it gone? There's no peace in material or financial security. There's no peace in our reputation. Because as surely as you allow people to make a name for you, the same people can take away from you. Now that we have more than telephone and telegraph, now that we have internet and satellite communications, people can lie about you all around the world all at the same time. There's no security in your good reputation. You've been working out, haven't you? Been going to the spa and the gym and the fitness center. I see you. You've been beefing up, got muscles pressing through your suits. Even got ladies working out, getting toned up, getting fit, getting as fine as you can be. But we found out there's no security in our health. Sooner or later, it's just the nature of our makeup. These bodies we trying to build up will break down. The stuff we taking to make us well, we're finding out now some of that stuff is making us sick. You turn on the health report, you find out that food you were eating because you thought it would make you healthy, now they say it causes cancer. You don't know what to eat. You don't know what to leave on the shelf. There's no security, no peace in your health. Jesus told these disciples well before they got in this room, even before the crucifixion, he said one thing is for sure. In this life, you are going to have tribulation. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a comforter. The Father has already prepared that when I am off the scene and you don't have me to lean on like you're leaning on me now, you can't sit around the fire with me like we've been doing, chatting about the kingdom of God like we do now. The Father has prepared that when I am gone, says the Lord, he is going to send you a comforter, the comforter who is the Holy Ghost. Now listen to how Jesus says the Holy Ghost is supposed to work. He says the Holy Ghost, when he comes, is going to bring to your remembrance everything that I've been saying to you. You see, nothing troubles us like going through something, being in trouble, and having no recall of anything the Lord has said that would help us in our situation. We get in trouble, then forget all that good word that we've been studying for just such a time as when we need it most. Got the Daily Bread devotional in your pocketbook. Got the New Testament in a size you can carry in your coat pocket. But when we get in trouble, trial comes, testing comes. All of a sudden, we get spiritual amnesia and can't remember or apply anything the Lord has said for our situation. Well, I'm here to tell you, you got to let the Holy Ghost in your room. Because the work of the Holy Ghost is to bring to your remembrance the Word of God that has already been planted in you. Oh, you may not be going to Sunday school now. You may not have been to Five Vacation Bible School in decades. But you went to both way back when. And your teachers told you about Jesus way back then. They taught you, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You may be all grown up now and off on your own and independent, thinking you bad. But you remember Mama reading to you the scriptures. You remember Grandmama singing, I will trust in the Lord and he will never leave me nor forsake me. I tell you, there's something in you that the Holy Ghost wants to work with. There's something in you he wants to bring to your remembrance to help see you through. That brings me to my next proclamation about the Holy Ghost. That is that the Holy Ghost is given to us to make sure we get through what we're going through. Jesus gives us the Holy Ghost to make sure we are not defeated, to make sure we are not destroyed. And so, my brothers and sisters, whatever is going on inside of you right now, make room for the Holy Ghost. Because with the Holy Ghost is power to see you through. Oh, yes, the first words out of the Master's mouth is peace be unto you. And that peace only comes by allowing the Holy Ghost in your room so he can bring to your remembrance the word of life and liberty he has already planted in your spirit. So Jesus comes in that room and brings peace. Then the word says Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Why do you think he shows them his hands and his side? As much time as they spent with him, there should have been no problem recognizing him for who he is. But haven't you learned? If you have not made room in your spirit for the Holy Spirit to dwell, Jesus can be in your midst, and you don't know he's standing right there. On his way to Calvary, there were many interacting with Jesus who didn't have his spirit in them, and they did not know who he was. From judgment hall to judgment hall, they dragged him to Caiaphas, to Herod, men who should have recognized him according to the scripture that prophesied his coming. They took him before Pilate, and because there was no presence of the Holy Ghost in them, they did not see Jesus for who he is. They demanded of him miracles and signs, but if they had the Holy Ghost in them, they would have recognized and honored the Lord. In the midst of any situation you are in, the Holy Ghost is given to help you see how Jesus is moving and to hear what he has to say. Jesus knows that the spirit of his disciples is burdened down, almost buried up under what they're going through. So he shows them his hands and the wound in his side just to verify that he is the one that was hung up on the cross. He is the one whose hands and feet were nailed. He is the one who endured the scorn of sinners he came to save and stayed on the cross to prove himself the fulfillment of every prophecy. He shows his disciples his hands and his feet to tell his disciples that whatever it is you're dealing with, it doesn't compare to what I've just been through for you. It doesn't compare with what they have done to me. They talk about you? Well, guess what? They talked about me too. So I feel you. They scandalized your name? Well, they lied on me too. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. Whatever you're going through, it does not compare to what I have been through for you. When I see his nail-scarred hands and his wounded side, wounds from which poured out precious blood, I hear the singing of the saints of old. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, these disciples were not there, but they took the evidence of his wounds to be truth positive that this is the Christ and he has risen from the dead in victory. The word says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. My friends, the next time you're going through, you might not be going through now, because you looking so good and you're getting your praise on this Sunday morning. But the next time you going through, look at Jesus with the wounds in his hands, with his thorn-scarred brow and his wounded side. Look at Jesus with blood being shed for our redemption, and you will know that there is nothing you are going through that Jesus can't get you through. You got to let the Holy Ghost in your room so he can remind you of things about Jesus that will see you through to victory and give you peace and make you glad. How many know about the gladness you have in the Holy Ghost? Ain't nothing like it. There's nothing like being caught up in the Holy Ghost. Nothing like it. Nothing like being filled with the power of the presence of God. Nothing like, I tell you, nothing like it, being baptized, not just in the water, but also in Holy Ghost fire, giving you joy, giving you unspeakable joy. I'm glad the Holy Ghost desires to dwell in us, because I haven't met anyone that can do me like Jesus when the Holy Ghost comes. Then they were glad, the word says, when they saw the Lord. They saw him differently this time. Before, they saw him arrested, mistreated, mocked and scourged. He looked defeated. But with the Holy Ghost in the room, they saw him in power and victory, and they were glad. If I had time, I'd question you about what you're going to do with all that peace and power that you have in Jesus. Jesus breathed on them the Holy Ghost and said, even as my Father has sent me, even so now send I you. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get going in his name. I'm ready to keep on running the race, but I want to fill up first. Let the Spirit of the Lord fall fresh on us. Fill us, feed us, till we want no more. There's nothing like walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, serving the Lord in the Spirit, loving and living in the Spirit of the Lord. What you gonna do with all that peace and power once you let the Holy Ghost in your room? You gonna tell somebody that Jesus saves? Are you gonna show somebody the way? You gonna speak truth to power and make a difference in this world? What you going to do with all that Holy Ghost in you? Let the Holy Ghost in your room. And then let's get about running this race. In the name of Jesus, we say glory to God. Let it be so, Lord, even as you will, even as you purpose and plan. Use us. For thy name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Dr. Owens, for that soul-stirring message. This is Minister DeCorey Newsom from New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And right now, I just want to extend the right hand of fellowship or a relationship with Christ out to somebody who doesn't know him. We're walking, for the most part, in the dark before we know God. But God wants us to walk in his marvelous light. And we all know, you hear the message often that, yes, God loves you. We hear John 3:16, for how God loved the world, gave us all his son, but sometimes it seems we don't go past that. God sent his son into the world not to judge you, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world. The people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. I just want to extend to someone today, come to the light. God is not desiring that you perish, that he puts you away for eternity. No, God has made it possible for us through his son, Jesus Christ, to walk in this life, to be born again, to have relationship with him. And know how sweet it is, day in and day out, to know Jesus has forgiven your sins. He's made you a new creation, and he is not going to judge you. But first, you have to walk to the light. You're in darkness today. If you do not know Jesus, or if you walked away from him for whatever reason, come back to the light. He loves you, and he's waiting on you. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that someone will be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will continue to woo them and draw them towards you, because you said in your word, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Jesus, I ask that you continue to draw those that are in darkness into your life. We pray for those who might have fallen astray, that you bring them back to the light, God, because you do love us and you do care for us. So, Father, we pray and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good afternoon. This is Reverend Arnetta Carpenter from New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and I'm here today on Hope is Alive to share communion with you. As you're getting your elements together, your bread and crackers or your grape juice, I just wanted to share this with you. Today is Communion Sunday, and it's another Sunday that we have been given the privilege to continue our commitment to our Lord Jesus. It is a reminder of what Jesus did in the past, a symbol of our present relationship with him, and it's a promise of what he will do for us in the future. Before we partake of the meal, we are invited to remember Jesus, everything about him, what he did. We must remember that this meal that we're going to take is not something we do for Jesus. Rather, it reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. We must always remember and be reminded about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He did not give the church art or icons to remember him by, but he did give us the bread and the cup. Communion focuses on the overall story of Christ. By taking communion, we are reminding ourselves of his person, his work, his death, his resurrection, and his coming return. The bread that we are getting ready to take, or cracker, symbolizes the body of Jesus as he took on all sins, all our iniquities, rebellious, grief, and shame. He is to be our power by which we obey the demands of God, the word of God, to love one another, to forgive one another, and be kind to one another, and to pray for one another. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us eat." After that, also he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us drink. The juice of the cup symbolizes his blood, which he said is the blood of the new covenant, the new arrangement for a living that God has made by which the old life is ended. We are no longer to live for ourselves. When Jesus shed his blood, it was for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To be partakers of the bread and the cup is a privilege, one afforded to us, because the gospel came to our ears. As we hold the bread and the cup, we are holding a message the world needs to receive. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for sitting high and looking low. But let me carry your peace inside me today. Let us all carry the peace inside of us and use it as an anchor against the tumult of our daily lives. You know, it's so easy to get lost in our routines and our to-do list. The day's demands threaten to blow us off course. But the knowledge of your strength and your omnipotence can serve as a touch point, bringing us back to serenity again and again. Help us to remember the peace that is given to us by taking the bread and the cup. Help me remember, help us all to remember, that peace is only a heartbeat away, whatever our outward circumstances are. These things we ask in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. For in this moment, because of you, I wanna thank you and praise you too. A sinner like me, to save the world. Salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right. Demanded that I should die, but grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, oh no, we've already paid the price. You see, I once was blind, but thank God I can see. Rescued me. Ah, your grace.
your grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Your grace and mercy. My. Ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to Hope Is Alive with Brother Arthur Chambers, Sister Madeline Chambers, Dr. Michael Andrew Owens with the live messages. Invitation by Minister Decora Newsom and the Lord's Supper by Reverend Arnetta Carpenter. And now I have a few questions I want to ask Minister Newsom. Good afternoon again, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Oh, always good being with you, my brother. Always good. Thank you so much for what you do for New Hope and the world, because we transmit this broadcast around the world each and every Sunday right here on Studio W The Buzz. And I'd like to invite our audience to invite your friends inside the United States and outside the United States, and you can reach us anywhere at studio w.buzz, available on Alexa. You can download one of the free apps, Apple. Just go to your Apple App Store and download studio.w. Android is simply Studio W, also on iTunes and Spotify. Minister Newsom, sir, I understand that you are the newly appointed Minister of Evangelism. Please share with us some of your vision for this ministry.
Well, yes, sir, that is correct. And I'm very humbled, about the position that I get to just undertake this. The vision, man, the vision. I've been wrestling with this ever since they appointed me. I know a few things. We're going to be working on being intentional about our faith. The easiest thing to do for us as believers sometimes is to get lackadaisical, push back from the table a little bit. You know, we get complacent at times, and sometimes it's not on purpose. You know, things just happen. We get comfortable. But we're going to be working on being more intentional with our faith. Just everywhere we go or everywhere that we frequent, that is your assignment. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have the evangelist on the front of it. You have the greatest title. You are a son of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. So everywhere you go, that is your pod, so to speak. We're going to teach people how to draw out the fish that are in your waters, right by your house, the store you go to all the time, the gas station. You know those people you don't talk to? By just learning how to forge relationships, you know. You
yes.
Okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yes, sir. No, please continue. Please continue.
Yes, but just, being intentional, because Jesus was definitely intentional with us when God sent him to die for us. I mean, that couldn't have been an accident, right?
Yes.
that couldn't have been an accident. But just part of the vision also, we're going to seek to have goal-oriented results. It's one thing that, we want new members, we want people to come, but I know for myself, I have a type A personality. I need a goal. I need to be working towards something. I need to see the results. For example, by next year, we want to have a minimum of 10 baptisms, 1% growth in new members, et cetera, and et cetera. You follow me? We need to have goal-oriented results that we are working towards. Not saying that we're going to hit all the marks, but at least we have a goal. Mm-hmm. Just let's have a goal. And also, I see we're going to be engaging the community, but not before we complete our workshops that we're having. And our first one is going to be May 27th from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. We are going to equip in-house first. We're going to build up our people even more, because Dr. Owens is doing a marvelous, just a fantastic job. But he can't do it all, but we can do a lot more together when we're all built up, when we're edified. So we're going to have workshops to equip in-house the people who are going to be on the evangelist team. For those who might be curious and want to see what's going on, we're going to have somebody come in with resources and to teach us properly how to engage with one another and other people.
I can hear the excitement in your voice. I'm excited for you, my friend. I'm definitely excited for you. Sound like you do have a plan. You've been thinking about this a lot, I could tell. Now, some are, they have a fear of approaching other right. people in person with their witness. What will you do to take some of that fear away?
I'm gonna tell you, get some tough skin. No, I'm not gonna tell people that. You know, we have to be just gentle and compassionate people. And I learned to just meet people where they at. Everybody's not an extrovert, but just because mm-hmm. you're an extrovert doesn't necessarily mean you like talking to people. I don't know. It just might be a person's personality. And just because a person might be introverted does not mean they're not effective.
That's right.
So we just have to learn to meet each other where we're at. And no, this is not about us. It's just scripturally. Because fear is normal. But didn't Christ say to his disciples, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will receive what? They will receive power. We have power. That's just the main thing. We have not been given the spirit of fear.
That's right.
You know, a sound mind. We have power as well. So it's just tapping into that biblically and then seeing what can we do as far as just different methods on learning how to talk to people. The fear might not ever leave. But look at the calls. We are part of the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the calls, getting to know people in the community, talking to them, finding different catchphrases or something to say to somebody that will, or icebreakers, that will not make it as, you know, stressful, you know, when you're going to speak to somebody. There are ways that we're going to be going over and talking about, and I know for a fact they work, because I myself used to be very shy. It might not seem like it, but I was. But just being around the right people, the right information can do a lot of justice mm-hmm. in itself. So we're not going to worry about the people who have that fear. We're going to get that right up out here in no time.
Amen. Yep. It's nothing like it but just to go out and do it. Step out on faith, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm thinking, sir. Wow, wow, wow. Well, I'm excited for your ministry. I know you're going to do great things and, the communities that you reach will benefit for it. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, sir, would you grace us with a closing prayer?
Oh, certainly. Father God, we thank you for just being who you are, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank you that you thought about us so much, God, that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our place on the cross. So we just thank you for that. Father, I ask right now, whoever is listening or will listen, that you bless them in a mighty way, bless them spiritually, financially, physically, and whatever need that they have, God, we know you can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or act. So we just thank you for who you are. Bless this radio show. Bless Brother Brown and all those who are part of this program today, Father. Continue to build us up. Continue to love on us so we may be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you please help us to keep our hope in you alive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. It's been a pleasure, Minister Newsom, and I know you're going to do great things, my friend. And bless you, bless New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Bless everyone who has had the opportunity and took the time to listen to this program. So we'll talk real soon, my friend. You have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. And this one is dedicated to you and the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church and to our friends around the globe. Dietrich Hatton, well done. Amen, amen, amen. This has been Hope is Alive right here on Studio W, the Buzz Network, StudioWBuzz.com.
Just wanna make it to heaven. I just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross that river, my Lord.